You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this teaching from Pastor Mark. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
Amen. And so we're going to start where we left off, because we can do that on purpose, because the marriage just gave us some word about joy. And how do you receive with joy? And the Lord has promised you in the early part of this year, double jubilee. And I've seen things the Lord is doing in people. I've heard things. And you say, well, when's my turn? Well, keep rejoicing. Hallelujah. Keep rejoicing. Keep rejoicing. Keep rejoicing. Keep rejoicing. Hallelujah. With joy. With joy. With joy. Bring in them the harvest. With joy. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Hallelujah. I rejoice. I rejoice. I rejoice in you. And I'm glad. I'm glad. I am so grateful. I am so grateful for everything that you've done. Amen. All right. Let's see what he's going to do. So have a seat. And we're going to talk a little bit about tonight, but I just have some things in my heart and I want to get to them. So I need you to be with me. So we're going to talk about kind of carrying on about making godly decisions, but we're going to take the other side of it where we look at kind of renewing our mind, but not being religious about it, but also having the anointing involved in renewing your mind. You know, anything you do in God as a born-again believer should be spirit-led. Anytime you get to doing things out of your own strength and doing it out of rote or whatever, it becomes religious, and it doesn't have as much power in it. And one of the things you have to watch, especially this Wednesday night crowd, is that, you know, as you're maturing in God, and many of you in this room are very mature, solid believers, and there's not probably many sermons that I could preach that you haven't heard it 10, 15, 20, 30, 100 times. But what tells me about you in this room is that you know just hearing it once is not enough. That faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so there's the and hearing part and the and doing part that will keep you in the promises of God. Just because you walk somewhere one time does not mean in God you continually walk. I don't know if you notice out in the world today, it's pretty intense out there, especially the God of this world, the devil, just coming against that which you and I would be like, you know, someone would say something and it just messes with us because we're like, what? Because they're thinking from a different place. And you see, words are manifestations of thoughts. So you can tell what someone's thinking, what someone believes, by what they're saying. Isn't that true? Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. And so really what someone believes, they say it on a regular basis. That's what's on the inside of them. And you can't change what a person says and how they act until you change what's on the inside. And so you and I need to keep working at that, because we have this outward influence trying to come in and mess with us. And you and I have got to stay in the Word. And so I want to take you to something, because you can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. One of the things that will help you make good choices and good decisions is understanding your soul. And understanding that after you got born again and even filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues, everything just didn't get automatically changed. You're born again and you're going to heaven. You have this peace on the inside. Then when you got filled with the Holy Ghost, you received the fire of God and you spoke in tongues, and now you're more aware of God than you've ever been. And then some people like that, then when they mess up or a bad thing happens, then they're like, what happened? I've got this peace, and I know God, and I can speak in tongues, and shouldn't that mean I arrived somewhere? Well, it does mean you arrived somewhere, but the ongoingness can, and this is where I have a struggle, and I know you have a struggle, the ongoingness, the walking this out every day, and not letting it become something that we're not intense about can really mess you up. Can really trip you up. And so I've got some things on my heart. We're just going to have to start, though, in the basics. So let's start with 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. So how do we change? How do we make godly decisions? Number one, we let the Spirit of God lead us. Because he'll guide us and he'll direct us. And if we'll ask him for wisdom, he'll lead us and guide us. But on the other hand, the Lord told me one time, if a born-again, Spirit-filled believer will live by the word, the just live by faith, if they'll renew their mind, and how many of you know, we're going to get to 2 Corinthians 10 in a minute, how many of you know that God's thoughts are higher than your thoughts? Now, see, I can get my preach on and turn that around to a way that God doesn't mean it. Because people will say, well, God's thoughts are, you know, I can't do it. God's thoughts are higher than your thoughts. But they'll say, you can't get there. What they're saying is you can't get there. But that's not, he's just saying his thoughts are higher than your thoughts. How many of you know that's the truth? And you don't have to be a genius to figure that out. How many of you know, on your own, you can't think like God. On your own, you can't think like God. Why? Well, you think an apple, he thinks an orchard. Amen. You think gray, he thinks rainbow. Amen. You think, give me a dollar. He says, I can give you a million just as easy as I can give you a dollar. It's the truth. Right? I mean, God is, we don't think like he thinks, but it's not over there. Because you can think like God. I told you, someone's words are their thoughts. God gave you every thought of his that you would need to change what you think. And to begin to think like he thinks. Therefore, if your thoughts become God's thoughts, then you can make decisions that God would make without even having to ask him. Because you're thinking like him. Because you begin to talk like him. Therefore, you begin to walk like him, and you'd make choices that he would have you make because you're thinking like he thinks, because your thoughts have become his thoughts. How do you get them there? The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 2 that he reveals them to us by the Holy Ghost. So it's not just reading the word. Reading the word is good, but letting God reveal to you who he is. Let the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, because when you came into this, your eyes were blinded. By the God of this world. And unfortunately, even after someone gets born again, in some areas of our life, you can still be blinded. If you have trouble with, you can be just easy things, prosperity. One of the things, you know, and I know it's not popular in the church world today to do it the way we do it. I know it's not. What they want to do is they want to talk about it, and they want to put a little bucket in the back. And if you'd like to give, then you can give. You keep people away, they say. But you see, I know too much about the God of prosperity. I know too much about that Jesus became poor that I could become rich to cheat you. To me, it's cheating people. I grew up being cheated. They didn't tell me who he really was. And I'm just not going to do it. Well, it makes people uncomfortable. Yeah, but if they would figure it out, they would be comfortable for the rest of their life. You know, that's like tongues. Dear me, it's Wednesday night, right? It's just like tongues. People say, well, you know, that messes with people. It set me free. I don't know how it messes with everybody. It changed my life. So why again would I keep that quiet? What's next? Don't want to talk about the blood. It's gory. Well, guess what? Without the shed of blood, there is no remission of sins. What's next? No virgin birth? makes people uncomfortable. How could it be? Well, it happened. And if it didn't, there's no reason for us to be here tonight. What am I saying? The world is wanting, and sometimes they erode at what we really believe. And it's going to get worse. But God's going to raise up a church. God's raising up the church that's going to be able to take a stand. And you've got to be strong. And so you've got to be able to think like God thinks. So you can talk like, I am not talking about slamming everybody and being combative and confrontational. I'm talking about knowing who you are and knowing what you believe. And when somebody asks you a question, why are you not stressed out, that you can give them an answer. Why you got all this peace about you? Why are you so joyful? Why on Thursday morning when you went to, why are you so happy? And you know, you might, last week at church, I ran around the room, and I mean, God set me free, and it's good, and I'm glad to be here today. You know what I mean? What does this have to do with it? You have to get to a place where you think like God thinks. How do you do that? 2 Corinthians, I told you it was going to get there, chapter 10, verse 3. Though we walk after the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. In other words, we live in a fleshly body, but we don't war after the flesh or war with other people for the weapons of our warfare. Uh-oh, it sounds like we're in a war. Two scriptures, two wars. Because of the weapons of our warfare, and you need weapons, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of what? Strongholds. And so when I first came into spirit-filled living, it was a time, and some of you don't know anything about this, so I almost hate to bring it up, but I came into a time when people was wearing fatigues to church, and there was a lot of stuff going on, and they were talking about strongholds over cities, and if you're going to have a revival in a city, you got to rent an airplane and go pull them down, or all that stuff. And so, you know, and then they later found out that's just a bunch of, like my grandma would say, hooey. And so it was just a bunch of silliness. But it came out of a heart's desire. See, a lot of times error, people push the boundaries out of a heart's desire, just not grounded in the word. It came out of a heart's desire to change some things because they saw the devil, they saw the enemy making headway. So how do we get rid of him? And, you know, and it's harder this way, but it's still the only way I see. The only way you can make headway in a city, in a community, in a nation, is to change people one person at a time. Because when we do that, when we get people born again, when we get people filled with the Holy Ghost, when we get the word in them, they change. Then their family begins to change. Can I get a witness? When you changed, had your family begin to change? You still see your extended family, people being changed. People around you begin to change because you changed. I believe in household salvation. Because I believe when one person gets saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and life gets to change, they can't keep it to themselves. It begins to go outward. So some of you who maybe got saved or filled with the Holy Ghost late and you've got adult children, you think now you're learning all these things, you're like, beating yourself up. What did I do? It's never too late. It's never too late. It's never too late. Come on, what does Jubilee mean anyway? It means restoration. Some of you in this room, this is just popping out of my heart. Some of you, restoration is adult children that, you know, maybe you, because you'd like a do-over. But you don't get do-overs. In God, you get like it never, it can almost be like it never happened. He promised you he'd restore the years. He'd restore those years. You see, so this is so important because even what we're going to talk to, if we can never talk about it, we're going to talk about strongholds and where are they. They're not over cities. We're not going to have to rent any airplanes. You don't have to go to the highest building in the city and pull it down. That's good for our area because we don't have a whole lot of high buildings. But the truth of the matter is, this is what it says. So the strong is, then it goes on to say that pulling down a stronghold. So what does strongholds have to be? Number one, it's a war. We're in a warfare. We need weapons. And their strongholds. What are we fighting against? Strongholds. Where are they? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts against itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Well, this is something that I know a whole lot about. Because a lot of times what you need to know, and everybody in this room, a lot of times people live a couple different lives. In other words, they live an outward life, but then they have this internal life that they don't let anybody in. And there are a lot of people that you look at all day long that are smiling, and they're putting on a good front, and some of them may even be in this room right now. But on the inside, their thoughts, what they think about themselves, there's turmoil. There, and so a lot of times when you get a group of people where, yes, they're saved, yes, they're filled with the Holy Ghost, yes, they do believe that all the promises of God are yes and amen, but they're not able to, for some reason, to walk in them. Why can't they walk in them? I would say that you would look here, because that means there's something going on that you don't know about for that person, or maybe it's you in this room or whatever, because there's this internal struggle that they're able to maintain and hold down, yet it keeps them from fully walking in the promised land. It's like those silly little grasshoppers, the children of Israel. It wasn't, remember we've talked about this time and time again, was it the walled cities that kept them out? Was it the giant that kept them out? Was it the will of God that kept them out? What kept them out? It was what they thought about themselves. And what they thought about themselves caused them to make a decision that cost them 40 years, cost their children 40 years, more to say, because most of them died. Cost their children 40 years. are y'all with me? What you think and what the internal things that we have going on really do in some ways cause us to make decisions because of what we think about ourselves. Because what is a stronghold? A stronghold, a definition is a fortified place. It's a fortified place. A stronghold is a fortified place. And here, it's a fortified place within your soul, located in your, not your brain, in your mind. Your mind, the thinking part of you. It's your soul. It's where your will is. It's where your emotions are. It's the decision-making part of you. And until kombote mashuta rekaya mokoto, until I can get a hold of that, I can't get you what I've promised you. I know something about this. I do. I want to help people. I still do. I really did when I was younger in the Lord. Just deal with some of this stuff, because you know, we're taught even in church. You know, we gotta, especially in our kind of church. You know, you always got to be smiling and have the victory and say praise the Lord and you got this and I agree, we need to do that because we need to change our, but not at the expense of ignoring. Faith does not ignore what's going on the inside of you. We're not ostriches. You know what that, you know, I don't even know if a real ostrich is. What do they say? They put their head in the sand. I don't even think there's any sand where they live. But I don't know what that saying means. But that's what some believers do. A stronghold in somebody's life can be very real. And people around them, it causes them great frustration. Many habits that people have come from a soulish stronghold that they try to medicate to keep under control. So we can, you know, wave our finger and tiss-tiss at people, but what we need to do is help get them free of the strongholds that are in their minds. And sometimes, now understand what I'm about to say, it's not enough to get people born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes, Hold on. Y'all stick with me. Pastor Mark said it's not enough. There's more to salvation. I didn't say there's more to salvation. I didn't say there's more to go to heaven. Get born again, going to heaven. You don't even have to get water baptized, but you should. Sign up if you ain't. All right. But filled with the Holy Ghost. Speaking in tongues won't get you to heaven, but you ought to be filled. You ought to be able to speak tongue and rhyme. I mean, you ought to be full, fire of God. But in order to receive the promises of God, because it's not the will of God, it's not the enemy, because the children of Israel couldn't go in the first time because of strongholds. They kept their slave mentality. When God said, I have given you the land, he was trying to give them a warrior mentality, go take it, it's yours, but they were, because he promised. There was nothing in the word, you got to wait 40 years till you get it all together. It was about their thoughts. It was about what they thought about themselves. And so where is a stronghold? Well, strongholds are imaginations. It's a thing that exalts itself against the word of God, against the knowledge of God. And what are we told to do? We got to bring it into captivity. We got to bring it into captivity. So let's look at these scriptures. Let's look at Romans chapter 4. No, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I'm probably going to, just for time's sake, I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Classic. Romans 8, 4 through 8. So that the righteous and just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not live our lives in the ways of the flesh, guided by wilderness and our sinful nature, but our lives in the way of the Spirit, guided by His power. For those who are living according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, which gratify the body. All right? So you've got your flesh, because how many... everybody just smile a lot tonight and look at me for a minute, all right? So if your flesh is doing something by habit, by desire, that is not pleasing to God, and on the inside you know that it's not right, and you can't seem to get over it, the Bible says what we're doing is, right here in Romans chapter 8, it says, for those who are living according to the flesh. How many know Romans is written to Christians? For those who are living according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. So it tells me that what are we, set their minds on the thing and pursue those things which gratify the flesh. So if we're producing flesh, then what do we know? If you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the what? Now, wouldn't it be nice if we got born again, if we just, you know, suddenly our bodies got the, we walked in the Holy Ghost doodads all day. Wouldn't that be cool? Kind of, I don't know, vibrate a little bit even. Remind us God was there and He's on us. That'd be cool. But that's not the way He chose to do it. And so, if we're gratifying things, then we've set our mind somewhere. That's what the Bible says. So if I'm doing things that are not pleasing to God, I've set my mind in the wrong place. Has nothing to do with my spirit, has nothing to do with I talk in tongues. Because, you know, when you talk in tongues, what are you doing? And everybody in this room knows that I believe you ought to, have I said that? I mean, but where does that come? Out of your belly, out of your spirit. Sometimes people can't talk in tongues because they're too heady. Because they're thinking about it too much. So when it's even to talk in tongues, you've got to kind of let go of your mind. And it can come out of your heart. But in order to walk in victory, you can't just, you know, the Bible doesn't say remove your mind. It said renew it. We got to renew it, right? We got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. In other words, if we have a stronghold, if there's something that we want to do, and I guarantee you this, the enemy, as long as you're walking, is always going to try to either put that stronghold or things, a pattern of thinking back in you that you once had. It's not like I'm done with this forever. I can't see that, because the devil knows, especially if you had a pattern of thinking, it's got to be renewed. And I guess it can be removed, but you're going to have to continually work at it. You're going to have to continually renew your mind. And then it says this, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on things of the flesh, which gratify the body, but those that are living according to the Spirit. Everybody say, that's me. It's Wednesday night. Everybody better say it a little louder than that. Those who are living according to the Spirit, say, that's me.
That's me.
Come on. You are, right?
Yes.
Set their minds. What? This is a literal on-purpose thing. Now, some of you might think, you know what? I do this. I got this. That's good. Good for you. But if there's one person I'm talking to in the room, then it's good enough for me tonight. How do I help you quit beating yourself up? How do I help you? How do I remind me, help you that, okay, there's an enemy? You know, there. How many, y'all realize that, right? And the devil is not satisfied because you're in a war. Who are you in a war with? Well, I'm not in a war with anybody. I'm not even at war with my own flesh. I am at war with someone who is trying to prompt my flesh and who's trying to make me think squirrely. Who's trying to make me believe something about myself. There is no one who is practicing and living in sin that has to be that way.
Amen.
Yeah, but nothing. When you're born again, especially filled with the Holy Ghost, you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. And now you have an opportunity to grab a hold of your mind and your soul and any thought or anything that the devil or the world has tried to tell you you are. You don't have to be that way. You can be everything that God told you you can be. Everything. Now, to some people, it's a struggle. There's more of a fight. Like, there's just all kinds of things I could go through right now, but let's pick one that, let's pick a funny one. Let's do one little light because we don't want to get too heavy. People who say, I have to have a cup of coffee. You don't want to be around me if I haven't had my morning coffee. So they're addicted to coffee. Addicted. Because if you have to have something, you're addicted. So you don't think that's a big deal, but someone who's addicted to Coke, I'm not talking cola, or meth, that's worser than you, because mine's just coffee. I can stop whenever I want. Can you now? With headaches and withdrawal just like everybody else. Praise Jesus. My point is, though, that you've allowed a pattern of thinking is I can't do with this without this, and I don't have to because it's not that bad. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. But then there's all kinds. I mean, some things look are more obvious than others. And so we ought not be judging everybody. We just should be helping everybody. But understand, you can't, for you and for me, we have to make sure. My point in saying it like that is that my spiritual father, Kenneth E. Hagin, used to say, you should never let anything have a hold on you. And so, but some of us, you know, you got to work at some stuff. But you can. But even the little things that we let go and we as believers just kind of say, eh. You have to understand that that kind of erodes at you where, because if you, I'm sorry, y'all. It was just a thing. Coffee. Starbucks, don't write me any letters. Dunkin', without the donuts, don't write me any letters. But, like, if the first thing you do, you wake up, you're like, I gotta get my coffee, I gotta get my coffee, I gotta get my coffee. I don't run late for work, but I'm gonna get my coffee anyway. I already be late for work and getting not have my coffee because they don't want me there if I don't have my coffee. I'm going to go get my coffee. And if she knows your order, never mind. Hey, it's me. Oh, it's ready. It's ready. All right. So anyway, but my point is anything that, so what do we have to do? We have to begin. Don't know when to come up here afterward. Is the Holy Ghost? No, I'm just using it as an example. All right, so we are going to be laying hands on people in a minute, though, to get you free. Hallelujah. No, I don't know what we're doing. I don't know what we're doing. But you have to, what you set your mind on. So it can be difficult in some areas, and I really do have compassion for people in this area. Because I've watched people just say, well, just get over it. Just get over it. And that's good, and we ought to get over it. But let us not be hard on people. Let's be encouraging to people, because what you think is easy, it might be hard for them. But what's easy for them might be hard for you. And so, but it's all, the devil finds these things in our life, and he it's stuff like, you remember, so I'm really not doing a whole lot there. You remember when Abraham and Sarah, when God spoke to them supernaturally, next year at this time, you're going to have a son, call him Isaac. How many know that's amazing? And you've got words from God too. You don't even need a prophecy. You've got words from God too. God spoke to you. And so, you know, they hold on to that. But did you notice, along with all the other stuff we teach on how to walk by faith, one of the things he said he considered not his own body. Where does considering take place? In your mind. Here's Abraham. He's looking at Sarah. She's not the same 20-year-old that he married. And all those childbearing years that they tried and cried and wondered, and she felt bad. And when he looks at her, she's 90. Now, she let us in on a thing. She said, shall I have pleasure with... He considered not. If he would have began to consider what his body could do, what her body could do, if he'd have thought on that, that's where the battle... Come on, Joyce wrote a good book called The Battlefield of the Mind. The truth is, that is where the battle is. That's where the victory is won or the victory is lost. What you think about yourself, what you think on, how you think of yourself, how often you think about it, the inward talk that you have with yourself, the stuff in this room, listen to me, that you don't think anybody knows about but you. But God knows, and he still likes you anyway. And he wants to help you anyway. But that's what he gave us the answer of, I need you to do something about these strongholds. You can't just leave them there, because it makes you think a certain way, which will make you talk a certain way, even if it's to yourself, and it'll make you act a certain way, and it'll keep you out of your promised land. God put a business in your heart. The devil and you can talk yourself out of it. I'm too old. I don't got enough money. I've never done that before. And then the devil will send Job's comforters to you to tell you, to reinforce that you can't do it. How you think about yourself, what you think about yourself. It may not have to do with business, but I dealt with that 25 years ago when nobody came to church. Nobody came. And then a pastor called me who was supposed to be helping me. But see, I started to begin to think, well, maybe I can't do this. Maybe I'm not meant to do this. Maybe I'm out of time. Maybe the devil just will. And then he calls, and he's supposed to call to encourage me. And he said, Mark, I know you're supposed to pastor, but it takes a special man to pioneer. Perhaps you're not that man. Thank you very much. What was that? He didn't know it. This is a Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled man who has spoken to me by the Holy Ghost before, but that day, whether he likes it or not, he was being used by the devil to reinforce something in me that was almost ready to quit before I got started. What was that? That was the insecurities that I lived with as a 14 and 15 and 16-year-old. That I was never going to be good enough, that I couldn't do it, that nobody liked me, that nobody cared what I had to say. But I had to get over it. And thank God the Holy Ghost will help you get over it. Because he's the voice in your spirit that'll work into your soul. But listen, y'all, don't ignore those strongholds. It's time to pull them down. What is that? How do you do that? Whenever you get a thought, see, that's why you got to know the word. Because when a thought is contrary, when it is anti-God, when the enemy comes with a thought, you've got to know what God has to say about that and say about you. And you got to open your mouth and contradict it. You got to do what Jesus did to the fig tree. You got to answer it. Now I know sometimes, and there's people in this room right now, that it's a deluge sometimes, that it overwhelms you sometimes, and sometimes you're an hour in, and you realize, what in the world have I been thinking about? Well, you can't cry about that hour, but you got to stop, pop up, and you got to just start talking. Pastor Mark, I'm tired. Yeah. But you can't quit. You can't quit. You can't give up. Because when you get those strongholds pulled down and you keep them down, that's when the promised land opened up to you. When you think on the things of the Spirit, when you walk in the Spirit, you know, but you don't have to do this on your own. Are we in Romans 8 and almost out of time? Romans 8. I had some good notes. 3 pages. Romans 8. Wesley came back and said, give me notes. I'm like, I just follow. I had a feeling. Romans 8. I taught you out of Romans 8:14, right? Remember? Many are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God, how to make a decision. Then you go back up, and then verse 13, Romans 8, 13. For if you live after the flesh, you'll die. That's not encouraging. But if through the Spirit you do mortify the deeds of the body, you'll do what? Live. Everybody say, that's me. All right. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Does the Lord dwell in you?
Yes.
Ephesians 2, 6 says what? We've been raised together with him, right? He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken. That word quicken means to make alive. Your what? Mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Anybody know anything about the anointing? What does the anointing do? Yeah, let's all say it together. The anointing destroys the yoke of bondage. Would you say a stronghold is bondage?
Yes.
So, in one way, it's talking about how do you get a hold? I don't teach it both ways often together, but tonight I feel prompted to. You see, the one way you go after pulling down a stronghold is you open your mouth and you say what the word says. Because if you're thinking something, the only way to change what you're thinking is to activate. That's why the Lord talks so much about talking. You activate. Some of you have done this with me a lot of times, but everybody in your mind, start counting to 10. Okay? And when I say praise the Lord, you say praise the Lord. Keep counting to 10. Do it in Spanish if you can. Just do it. Okay? Now say praise the Lord. Now what happens is when you say praise the Lord, you can't keep counting. You can't. I had one teenager argue with me, and his mind must have been all messed up. But he just didn't want to agree with me. But the truth of the matter is when you can do that internally, that thought, the way to change it is by opening your mouth. Because in your brain, in your mind, you have to let go of that to take hold. So the best thing to do is to open up and say what God says. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Last time I looked, I was a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away. Behold, all things are new. And the devil comes back in 15 minutes. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And here he comes 5 minutes later. The greater one lives in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And he comes back. You come back. You be the last man or woman standing on the inside. Answer it. Answer it. And I know it can be frustrating, and I don't know who I'm talking to, and I know it can be hard, and I know the battle can be long, but it's better than wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Amen. So then the second prong of this is this verse 13. And I know a lot of people use this for healing because it talks about your mortal flesh, but you've heard me talk about it this way. And in context, it is talking about someone who has yielded their soul, has a stronghold, who is thinking after the flesh, producing fleshly results. And then right in the middle of there, it's almost like the Lord knows, like, well, I don't want you to get religious with this. Because you can't do anything without my power. You can't do anything without my power. Right in the middle of that, he says that the same power, the resurrection power. The Bible says in Ephesians, the greatest display of power ever was when Jesus was raised from the dead. And it says that power is in you. That's why you can say, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. The resurrection power of God is on the inside of you. And the Bible says it will quicken your mortal flesh. In other words, when stuff's going on in your soul, so that tells me if it's going to quicken my mortal flesh, then it can touch my soul and rearrange things there. And then that's what, that's why I say, in 1 Corinthians 2, I think 16 through 18, the end is right there on my Bible, right up here. It says that I have the mind of Christ. Now, a lot of people think that's something you get when your mind is renewed. And I wouldn't argue with them, but I don't believe that. Because it's not talking about renewal there. It's talking about what's been revealed to you. And it says you have been given, not earned, the mind of Christ. And so when you've got the mind of Christ in your soul, and when you've got the anointing that does what? And you begin to talk the word. If you get both of these things, you get both cylinders firing here, then it'll change what's going on the inside of you. You need the Holy Ghost power. Make no mistake about it. In order to change and get rid of a stronghold, you need the Holy Ghost power. You need to go after it with the word. What Jesus said, what? My word's their spirit and their life. I need to go after the word. I need to renew. I need to go through the metamorphosis process. I need to renew my mind. I need to grab a hold of my soul. Any strongholds in my mind? What is a stronghold? Y'all, listen, it's not even always sin. It could be the devil told you, this is who you are. Stay in your lane. God's telling you who you are. I don't want to mess anybody up, because if it's not for you, don't take it. But just because you have a degree that you paid for and you're still paying for doesn't mean you can't be who God told you to be. I know, I had one. I still was paying for my education. After I got married, I'd graduated, what, like 8 years before that, and I wasn't being an accountant anymore. I was so happy to pay that student loan off. Do y'all ever do those deferments? My deferments had deferments. I don't know why they just didn't write it off. I told them, I'm not using it. Can it just be free? Come on. What? A stronghold could be anything like that. It could be the devil telling you, this is who you are. Be that. But if God's telling you who you are and you can't quite get to it, then there's a stronghold somewhere. Who are you trying to please?
We hope you were inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org, check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWALMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know Him so you too can make Him known.